This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Crop insurance has become an important piece of the puzzle for today's farms. So why not let the professionals at Farm Credit Services of Illinois show you how crop insurance can be a good fit for your operation? Learn the ins and outs about today's coverage plans, acceptable replant options, and preventative planning guidelines. Plus the latest information on changes to the federal crop insurance program. You get up-to-date information on your policy coverage, delivered by professionals who know farming and the benefits crop insurance can provide. There's a lot to know about crop insurance, and Farm Credit delivers the best value for your premium dollar. For information on crop insurance coverage for your farm, call us today at 800-444-FARM. That's 800-444-F-A-R-M. Crop insurance through Farm Credit of Illinois. It's a good fit.
Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment. Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Tuesday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat now trading at 751¾, up 1¼. May wheat trading at 760¾, up a half. March corn trading at 688½, down a quarter. May corn trading at 689, up a quarter. January soybeans now trading at 14.13¾, unchanged. March beans trading at 13.87½, up a penny. The overnight crude oil market was 13 cents lower at 93.02. The Brent crude 18 cents lower at 111.76. The February gold contract $1 higher at $1,663.20. The U.S. dollar index 0.115 higher at 80.46. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat closed at 750½, down 3/4. May wheat closed at 760¼, down 3/4. July wheat closed at 767¼, down a half. March corn yesterday closed at 688¾, up 3¼. May corn closed at 688¾, up 3½. July corn closed at 683, up 4½. January soybeans yesterday closed at 14.13¾, up 3. March beans closed at 13.86½, down 2. May beans closed at 13.76, down 1¾. January soybean meal yesterday closed at 410.60, up 21. March meal closed at 410.90, up 20. May meal closed at 403.60. up 18. January soybean oil yesterday closed at 49.14, down 36. March oil closed at 49.53, down 43. May oil closed at 49.95, down 43. March oats yesterday closed at 331¾, up a quarter. May oats closed at 337, down a half. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices did end mixed on Tuesday afternoon. Technical buying at the Board of Trade helped to lift corn futures. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mixed at 670 to 682, while soybean bids were mostly 3 to 6 higher at 1371 to 1397. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 4 cents stronger at 676 to 702, but the soybean bids ended mixed at 1391 to 1414. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to 3 cents higher at 667 to 709. Soybean bids ended mixed at 1406 to 1424, while the wheat bids ended mostly 1 cent lower at 731 to 755. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids closed 2 cents lower at 1416 to 1426, while basis ended steady, ranging from 30 to 40 over the March. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis gained $2 a ton on Tuesday to range from 422.90 to 434.90. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids gained 3 to 12 cents on Tuesday at 693 to 713, with basis steady to 9 cents stronger, ranging from 4 to 24 over the March. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 3 cents higher at 691 to 694. Basis ended steady, ranging from 2 to 5 over the March. Soybeans ended 2 to 3 cents weaker on Tuesday at 1424 to 1431, with basis steady to 1 cent lower, ranging from 38 to 45 over the March. Wheat prices for new crop July delivery down a penny at 725 to 742, with basis steady, ranging from 42 to 25 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids mixed at 671 to 688. These same elevators place their soybean prices also. They placed a mixed with quotations of 1434 to 1447. Soft red winter wheat ended steady at 762 to 763, and the Milo up 3 at 653 to 654. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers range from 532 to 543. New crop bean bids 1231 to 1251. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 539 to 556. New crop soybeans at 1245 to 1263. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn range from 534 up to 568. New crop soybean bids at 1241 to 1256, and new crop wheat in southern Illinois range from 712 up to 737. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. February hogs closed at 86.35, up a nickel. April hogs closed at 89.95, up 40. May hogs closed at 96.75, down 17. February cattle yesterday closed at 132.55, down 45. April cattle closed at 136.30, down 40. June cattle closed at 131.35, down 52. January feeder cattle yesterday closed at 152.72, down 52. March feeders closed at $155, down $1.10. April feeders closed at 156.57, down 135. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture, bringing you the afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis traded 9 cents lower. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of $72 to $81.75. with a weighted carcass average of $80.45. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows traded unevenly steady. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 39 to 43, and the 4 to 500 pound sows were trading 44 to 49, with the 500 pound sows on up trading from 45 to 51. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points traded steady to $1 higher, ranging from $54 to $58. Receipts for Illinois hogs totaled 10,708 head. In the Illinois cattle sales, the opening report from the Shelbyville auction had receipts of 414 head. Compared to last week, steers and heifers were $50 to $1 higher, and Holstein steers were also a dollar higher. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were bringing 126 to 131, select steers at 120, slaughter Holstein steers 115 to 121, and choice heifers $126 to $130, and the select heifers $120 to $125. Now a report from the Arthur Sale Barn. Weekly hay report from January 7th. They had total receipts of 2,361 bales. Compared to last week, small squares of alfalfa and alfalfa mixed hay traded mostly steady, with grass hay 50 cents higher. Trading was active and good demand for a large offering. Alfalfa premium quality small squares sold at $7 to $9.75, with good quality small squares at $5 to $6.75. Large squares 3x3s sold at $86 to $100, and with large squares 2x3s at $70 to $82. The large rounds 5x5 sold for $70 to $87.50. Alfalfa orchard grass premium quality small squares sold at $7 to $8.75. Mixed grass good quality small squares traded at $5 to $6.75. And large squares were trading at $75 to $77.50. Fair quality small squares sold for $3.25 to $4.75. With large rounds 5x5s, $50 to $67.50. From the National Car Lot Pork Report, trading was moderate with 131 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $83.05, which was 63 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses brought $193.98, which was 49 cents higher, and select carcasses at $183.31, which was 71 cents higher. From the estimated livestock slaughter report under federal inspection, cattle estimate for cattle was 127,000 head compared to last week of 1,000 head and a year ago of 129,000. Estimates for hog slaughter was 428,000 compared to last week of 2,000 and a year ago at 419,000. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, 145, down 3.5. For block cheese, 172, down 4. For barrel cheese, 169, unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, $18. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for January, $6.92. For February, $6.80. Corn delivered to Scottville for January, $6.84. For February, $6.80. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for January, $14.14. And for February, $14.04. And wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.27. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again: corn at Greenfield, $6.92. Corn at Scottville, $6.84. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.14. Wheat at Scottville, $7.27. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show. Right now, color radar showing no precipitation in the immediate listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Hi, I'm Kristen Treese with M&M Service Company. Up until recently, the words convenient and financing didn't mix, but the FS AgriFinance program has changed that. FS AgriFinance enables you to secure financing through M&M Service Company for all your farming input needs. So not only do you save time, but your production needs and financial plans are all handled by people who understand your business the way you do. Ask about FS AgriFinance from M&M Service Company today. It's custom financing at your convenience.
Becoming partly cloudy later today, high temperatures in the upper 40s with light west winds. Tonight, becoming cloudy with showers possible, low temperatures in the upper 30s. For tomorrow, Thursday, cloudy skies with occasional showers, the high temperature in the low to the middle 50s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday: partly cloudy skies with a day-to-day chance of showers. Low temperatures in the mid-40s, high temperatures in the mid to the upper 50s. Right now at the Weather Center, light west winds, the barometric pressure is rising. Our temperature, 41 degrees under cloudy skies. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Envirofoam of America and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. In our farm news this morning, on Monday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. We discussed the grain trade and the factors affecting it.
Friday's USDA reports are the attention and the talk of the trade as we go through the week. The reports in January have so much data in them that they almost always have a surprise, and those surprises tend to get big reactions from the markets, and that's leading to some consolidation and some caution this week. In fact, if you look back at the last 6 years, that report has produced a limit higher or limit lower day, one or the other, in the corn market in five of the last 6 years, three times to the downside, two times to the upside. I think grain producers hope that this is a year we even out the score and have a limit higher day.
Okay, now do you have any idea at all what those numbers will show?
Well, I think one of the keys for the corn market is going to be its quarterly stocks report, because the last quarterly stocks report we received on September 28th suggested that high prices through the summer did not slow feed demand as much as has been anticipated and reported by USDA. And as you look at the livestock numbers through the fall, the cattle on feed reports, the hogs and pigs reports, the poultry reports, it would suggest that we have not seen yet that culling of the herds like what we need to see to bring feed usage as low as USDA suggests. Right now, the trade is expecting corn stocks for December 1 to come in at 8.21 billion bushels. I'm looking for about 100 million bushels less than that. And if you translate that into annual usage, it's about 350 million bushels more usage. The other key will be harvested acreage. If you do an analysis of it, it would suggest that we harvested anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 million acres less than USDA currently says. Now, Joe Prusaki, who's head of USDA NAS, tells me that they will adjust harvested acreage based on the FSA data. I've gone through that FSA data. I've gone through it county by county. It leaves a lot of leeway for USDA to do what it wants. But if they do what my analysis suggests, that would reduce us several hundred million more acres. You put that all together, not acres, bushels, put that all together, and we would run out of corn this year. Well, that's market's not going to allow that to happen, but that would suggest we may need to ration another half billion bushels. On the other hand, if USDA doesn't do what I think they need to do, we're going to have a tough time getting a rally put together this winter.
You mentioned the 2 million acres that were not harvested. What were the reasons for that? Did the report give that?
Well, USDA continues to show that we harvested between 90 and 91% of the planted acres this last year. That's unheard of high percentage for a drought year like what we saw. Typically, it'd be around 85% that would get harvested. And when you look at the anecdotal reports of how much ground was abandoned, when you look at silage chopper sales last year, you had to stand in line to find a silage chopper. Tremendous amount of corn was put up for silage compared to normal. That would suggest that USDA is too high on those numbers. However, we'll have to see what USDA actually does. What they come out with is what's going to be looked at as the official numbers.
You mentioned feed usage a while ago. I saw a report yesterday that shows hog producers are looking forward to profitability very soon.
Exactly right. And all this talk about running out of meat in 2013, the hog producers heard that talk, and they didn't cull their herds like what was expected in the last quarter. Last quarterly hogs and pigs report showed that, if anything, we've actually increased the size of the herd a little bit rather than culling it back. So that means more feed grain consumption. Cattle on feed reports showing because of the drought in the plains, we're bringing those cattle into the feedlots a little bit quicker again this year, consuming more corn.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. The annual meeting of the International Livestock Congress will be held next week in Denver. The United States Meat Export Federation will play a major role, as Joe Sheely reports.
U.S. Meat Export Federation leadership and senior staff will play a major role at the annual meeting of the International Livestock Congress, which is set for January 15th in Denver. USMEF Vice Chair Leanne Saunders, who is president of IMI Global, will moderate a panel on traceability.
On the panel is Mark Gustafson with JBS, and he's going to really give us great insight with regards to to how we sit as the United States compared to what's happening around the world. Because of their world operations, they have a unique look into that. So he's going to talk about how some of our competitors in other countries are using traceability as a point of difference. We also have on the panel John Butler with the Beef Marketing Group. They have a consortium of 14 very progressive feedlots across Kansas and Nebraska. He's going to talk about how they weave in traceability, why traceability is important to their organization, on what they're doing on the front of traceability. And then we have Rick Stott with AgriBeef. They're in a region up in the Northwest that probably has a little bit different cattle supply scenario. Some of their customers are unique. They're an integrated operation, so they're going to give us some insight as to how they use traceability. And he's going to talk specifically about some of the state initiatives as well.
USDA's new animal disease traceability rule will be briefly discussed, but Saunders says the panel's main focus will be on voluntary initiatives.
I'm going to provide a brief update on what's happening with the USDA's ADT program, and again, a brief update. Most of this panel discussion will be centered around private industry voluntary initiatives, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on the regulatory side. Spend most of our time on what some of these very progressive initiatives are happening around the world with regards to traceability.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, this is Joe Sheely.
While an extension of the 2008 Farm Bill is better than nothing, the National Corn Growers Association is extremely disappointed a new five-year Farm Bill was not passed. National Corn Growers Association President Pam Johnson says many people worked hard during the past year to get concepts and reforms for the next 5 years and a comprehensive bill. Ms. Johnson says with this extension, the agriculture industry will soon be back in the same place as it was September 30th of last year.
Even though we're disappointed, we're willing and able to look forward to this new year and this new Congress so that we can work together to pick up the pieces and go back to work and come up with concepts that will work and that will help farmers when they need it, and be palatable in a time when our country has many uses for those precious dollars.
Ms. Johnson says the National Corn Growers Association looks forward to working with the 113th Congress and other agricultural organizations to come up with a comprehensive five-year farm bill to help all farmers. NCGA wants to get back to the table as soon as possible, and Ms. Johnson says the association knows what's ahead when difficult issues for the budget and sequestration arise.
We also know that agriculture has been a very strong sector economically and providing jobs and being a strength with the trade deficit in the past. And we have a lot of strengths. So we want to come back and be a piece of getting back together and working across the aisle and making sure that we can be a proactive response so that we can get back to business and start solving some of these difficult problems.
Ms. Johnson says it's important for grassroots members to be engaged and tell their legislators what's important to them because their voice does make a difference. The United Soybean Board says the five-day closure of Lock 27 on the Mississippi River this fall served as a reminder of just how much a lock closure can cost. The closure was needed for emergency repairs, and the United States Army Corps of Engineers estimates an unscheduled closure at the lock can cost up to $2.8 million a day. In addition, the United Soybean Board says the inadequacies of the aging U.S. lock and dam system can add burden, time, and cost due to inefficiencies. The nation's inland waterways serve as important and economical routes to transport U.S. soy around the globe. Of 2011 soy exports, 59% passed through Mississippi River ports in southern Louisiana. Of those, 89% passed through the locks on U.S. inland waterways on the way to the ports. Soybean farmer and USB farmer leader Dale Prophet notes more than half of U.S. soybeans are shipped to foreign markets. To get those beans to the user as efficiently as possible and to remain competitive in the world market, He says we need a properly maintained waterway system. Live cattle futures climbed to a record high last week, spurred by expectations that U.S. cattle and beef supplies will shrink further this year. The jump in cattle prices is expected to hit U.S. beef consumers in the coming months as meat packers pass along the higher costs to retailers and to restaurants. USDA Agricultural Research Service scientists have discovered vegetated drainage ditches can help capture pesticide and nutrient loads in field runoff, giving farmers a low-cost alternative for managing agricultural pollutants and protecting natural resources. Edge-of-field ditches used to be used as a way to provide a passage for channeling excess water from crop fields, but through their studies, scientists found runoff pesticide concentrations transferred from water to ditch vegetation decreased to levels generally non-toxic to downstream aquatic fauna. For more information on this research, go to www.ars.usda.gov. Once again, .ars.usda.gov. We'll have more farm news later today on WSMI, WSMI FM 106. We'll also keep you updated with the commodity markets throughout the day on both WSMI and WSMI FM. As we close in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, March wheat now trading at 752, up 1.5. May wheat trading at 761.25, up a penny. March corn trading at 688.75, unchanged. May corn trading at 689, up a quarter. January soybeans now trading at 1415, up 1.25. March beans trading at 1387.25, up 3/4. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Envirofoam of America.